Hey, Nadpoles. Caldwell here to talk to you about Hero Forge, the best place to get fully customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from. I actually just built a version of my Underdark Gnome Illusion Wizard, Kraslo, for use in a home game my friend has been running, and it was incredibly fun getting to scroll through all the options and details to bring this mage-handed menace to life. Their easy-to-use design tools let you build your perfect miniature online using a fully 3D, in-depth character creator right in your browser. Oh, and before you ask, yes, Hero Forge has goggles, and yes, Kraslo is wearing them. So if you've been thinking about splurging on a miniature for your D&D campaign, wait no longer, because May 2nd to May 9th, Hero Forge is having a spring sale. You can get 10% off all physical miniatures and free shipping, including international shipping on all orders. The figures are tiny, but the savings are huge. To take advantage of this great offer, visit heroforge.com to start designing your custom miniature today and check back often because new content is added every week. Ooh, good to know. Kraslo just got a hat of vermin in the campaign, and I really want to find an annoying top hat for him to wear to represent that. In the meantime, that's it for me. Thanks for listening, and happy forging.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court.
Dun-dun!
We are your benevolent Supreme Crit Justices, Murphy, Axford, and Iyengar.
Whoa! Ooh, I like getting extra. This is good for me.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us, Abria. Unfortunately, Jake could not make it this month, but...
But we have a wonderful backup bailiff in his stead. And she will begin right now.
I actually did not introduce Caldwell. I said you as a Supreme Crit Justice, but you're the bailiff this week. Oh. But we also have Justice Tanner. Let's give it up for
Thank
Justice
you.
Tanner.
Yeah. Bra, yeah. Bra, bra, bra.
Give it up.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's good.
Visual joke for the people at home that
Thank you for calling it a joke.
Listening. Yeah, he stood up and looked at the camera. Most people listen to the show. Important to remember.
You'll hear the soft rustling of cloth and be like, that's actually pretty funny cloth.
And also, silly cloth.
Caldwell's right. It wasn't a joke. He just stood up.
I kind of stood up like a monster in a horror movie, like slowly moving towards camera, slowly and awkwardly.
And this is coming out in October.
Exactly.
Perfect. What happens after you watch this?
I will be in your closet.
Caldwell's gonna be in your closet.
I'm gonna be in your closet.
Caldwell's gonna be in your closet.
Unless you delete this YouTube video, I will be in your closet.
Anyway, good lord.
Send this to your friend to curse them with Caldwell in your closet.
What's up?
Yes.
I'm the new ring girl.
Aww. What an upgrade for you.
Thank you. I'm really honored to be cast.
It's
just
huge.
Me at the bottom of a well being like, hey.
All right, Em, take it away.
Hear ye, hear ye. Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Murphy, Iyengar, and Tanner presiding along with your backup bailiff, Emily. Our first case comes from Ben.
Thanks, Ben!
Yay!
Ben writes, May it please inscrutable justices and the effervescent bailiff, Emily.
Wow.
I bring to you the case of the food order that ended a campaign.
Whoa!
Oh my god!
Back when 5e was still quite new, my friend wanted to take over my usual role as DM and move us from 4e to 5e. I was delighted by this as I wanted to take a little break from DMing. However, this led to a few issues. The main issue happened about three sessions in. To the DM's credit, the session was weird. Two new players joined just for that session. Someone was late and someone's brother came just to watch.
That's
all right. A spectator.
We have to finish. It seems like you have more, but this is a bad situation because clearly that brother was in town for a visit. That's my read on this.
Oh, and was just dragged to D&D night.
And they did not mention the fact that they were going to be at like a 4-hour event.
The brother needed to leave early, so the player, Jammy, offered to take the brother home and get a food order for everyone at the table. When they left, the DM ran an encounter whilst we were waiting. I was KO'd on the first round before even getting to take a move and waited for the food to arrive. The combat ended after a bit and Jammy got back with the food. All ends well. Until after the session, the DM messaged the group and told everyone how much XP they got for the encounter and said Jammy got zero as his character wasn't there. Even I got XP and all I did was lie on the floor bleeding out.
Jammy was getting food
in real life and should still get the XP. The argument ended the campaign and I've never used the XP since. Mighty Justice is, who was the asshole? I throw my friends at your mercy and I'm ready to enforce any punishments you may give.
Amazing.
What on earth?
Holy shit.
Number one, this is like, there's precedent for this. They've solved this in Pokemon. You get XP all. You equip it, everyone's getting XP even if they fight or not. That's gotta apply here.
The Pokemon precedent!
The Pokemon precedent shows its ugly head yet again.
Always rearing its ugly head.
Also, like, IRL acts of service get more than every. Like, you actually helped my human body. You can have mine.
I'm just picturing like Gandalf showing up at the Battle of Minas Tirith and he's just got like Taco Bell in his hand. It's great.
That's so good.
So excited to see him. He's got crunch wraps.
I haven't seen that movie. So in my brain, that's what happened.
Just picture Ian McKellen bringing you crunch wraps.
That's a good image.
I
need a moment.
Yeah, okay. Take a moment.
I brought you two types. I did not know what spice level you preferred.
It does make you wonder if Gandalf got XP for all the fights that he wasn't in Lord of the Rings.
He was already too high a level.
Yeah, it's
true. I think he was like, the enemies were too low level, and he wasn't getting XP by being with that group.
Yeah.
So he had to go off and do some end game stuff by himself.
It's like when Luffy has to like eat a big meal because he's too powerful, and they need like the other guys in One Piece to do some stuff. So like Luffy like eats too much and is like, oh, I ate too much food. And then he fights at the end.
I'm so sorry.
I've been reading a lot of One Piece and it's just bleeding out of my mouth. Please continue.
So did Jammy also, was it Jammy's brother that was there?
It's unclear. I believe it possibly was Jammy's brother, or Jammy could have been just.
But
doing
Jammy
yet
also
another
just
solid.
Jammy is just solid all around.
Yeah.
Jammy's taking the brother home. Jammy's getting everybody food. When I heard lunch or like food order that ended the campaign, I was like, someone really went out of their way to pitch something. Yeah, and they got everyone food poisoning.
Yeah.
Because everyone got horrible diarrhea and got sick and they didn't want to be friends anymore. That's how I thought this was going to end. If Jammy got everyone food poisoning, then I could see how this would happen. But Jammy's just solid.
Yeah.
We love Jammy here.
Just super, super solid.
We're sticking with Jammy.
Jammy deserves. Mm-hmm. Okay, so are we siding with Jammy and Ben? Ben was another player who thinks that Jammy was wronged. Are we siding with Jammy and Ben, or are we sentencing the DM?
Obviously, we tell people to like keep it brief, but I am kind of curious how this didn't escalate into a huge fight where everyone's just screaming at the DM. You know what I mean? There was any divide other than
because
just
it
being
was
like,
in a text message after, right? So all ends well. They get their food. They go home. The DM texts and says,
I would have said to everyone, DM, are you crazy?
Yeah.
I think that's what happened.
I think that's what happened.
So, like,
and I think they went, DM, that's buck wild.
I think everyone had Jammy's
back. And the DM went, I quit.
As long as everyone had Jammy's back, then I'm on everyone's side, except for the DM side.
Okay, so then we have to sentence crazy. The DM.
Also, do you guys fuck with XP? I hate that shit.
Yeah, no. Not really. No, yeah, we do all like milestone stuff.
Bitch all day, like,
I am a novelty bitch. I'm like, I kind of want my players to have new abilities.
Yeah.
Respect.
It's tough to sit there and calculate.
I kind of want some new things in play.
Yeah.
You want new stuff to do every session.
Yeah.
And you get to play for a home game. You get to play like once or twice a month, maybe. Some people are living that once a week life. Couldn't be me.
Once a week life.
Couldn't be me in a home game. Are you kidding me? No.
Got to have it.
So yeah, we're Team Jammy, of course.
Yeah. Team Jammy. Yeah. All right. I tried to find a couple of bad DM cases.
And this is a very bad
DM. Yeah, this
DM
is bad.
It's a bad person.
Bad.
Yeah.
Some little naughty DM.
Do we want to do Devil's Advocate and see if we can defend the DM who DM's Advocate.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how do we spin this?
Let's do PR for this DM. Two people at the table are brand new players. You have no guarantee they will be back. Or any sense that they'll be consistent players.
You have one brother,
but you have XP. So if that person takes time, or those two people get time need time to get bought in, mm-hmm. they don't have to show up every week. Like, here's your XP. The next time you show up, we'll be somewhere else, and that's okay. Mm. Play at your pace. You no longer have the pressure to show up every week because you're not bought in yet.
That is such a generous read. Yeah, here's my less generous read. Jammy's brother was the one who came to spectate.
Yeah, so and it was kind of ruining the vibe.
The DM just like,
Jammy, just go get us some food, please.
Fucking watch me. So you know what? You don't get XP. Yeah. It's not about the food. It's about bringing your brother.
What was Jammy's brother doing that was wrecking the vibe so bad?
Just like
on the phone and then yelling a question.
That's great.
Just like loudly playing TikToks.
No, this is early 5E days. Loudly playing vibes. Yeah.
You're right.
Just laughing really loudly and not showing
others.
So he's
just playing with like a
others.
Hoop and stick really loudly. And then
those halcyon days. My when paper dolls are great.
Somebody spectating while you're having like a quasi-serious scene and just somebody awful. Who's like kind of a jock or something would be mm-hmm. so intimidating.
Or like
just having someone sitting there just being like, okay.
As you're just like,
Dad, I'm going to kill the necromancer who killed you. And then some guy just like, all right, bro.
Oh
I would quit.
Horrified. Yeah. I would get a new hobby.
I would stop.
I would be done.
Yeah.
I would be fully done.
Yeah.
Get that brother out of here.
Yeah, get that brother out of here. But no, we
audience one person is the worst thing I can imagine. Yeah. Like, just it's all for like, you.
Everyone's mm-hmm. playing to Jammy's brother.
Yeah.
Like after everything they say, they look.
Behead the goblin. And then I put my fingers up his nose until he suffocates.
Until he freaking pops.
Or I don't.
Right?
Or I don't.
Yeah. Ronald, what do you think?
Ronald!
I'm not taking it seriously, Ron.
Okay, so we have to send in someone.
We are on Jammy's side because this was just
we're
DM's
on Jammy's side. We're,
of course, on Jammy's side.
Does the DM have to just open a restaurant and then just deliver food to all DM sessions?
Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, like a ghost kitchen. They have to open like a ghost kitchen just for D&D groups.
That's great.
Well, it's a little like cart. It's like a little food truck.
Oh,
so he's driving around.
Services.
Yeah.
Okay.
D&D crafty. Yes. I like that.
Because apparently players can't go and get you food.
Yeah.
So they need to stay at their games to get XP.
By your rules, my friends, no one's getting XP and eating.
Yeah.
So
you have to dump your savings into getting a food truck and then not making any money off of it.
Ghost kitchen. Yeah, a pro bono food truck is your mission.
Unfortunately, the end.
It's a friendly ghost kitchen, I guess. It's like a Casper situation.
Yeah. Mm. All right. So ordered. Is that what Jake usually says?
Yes.
Ordered. Okay.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Helen K. Helen K. writes, "May it please the too hot to handle justices of the court and the on par with Bailiff John, Bailiff Emily, I present to you an issue with my player, Silent Wind."
Is this a...
No.
Okay.
I know what you're thinking. No.
It's not.
Okay.
I am DMing, and my group was sneaking through Cannibal Castle. The ranger used Wind Wall to prevent two guards that noticed them from raising the alarm, and I asked her, is she sure about this and wanted to go through with it? I said that she managed to stop the guards, but extremely loud wind alerted everyone else in the castle to their presence. Yeah. They argued with me, saying that the wind should be silent. And I told them that high winds are super loud, especially wind that is strong enough to physically damage you. They shot back saying it is magic wind. So just chill, bro. We eventually managed to come to a compromise on an arcana check from the ranger, which they passed. Judges, was it right to acquiesce to their argument, or should my players have been the Cannibal King's lunch?
Should have been the lunch.
Should have been the lunch?
Yeah.
You think even a magical wind's making noise?
Not unless you do something else to
qualify. Quiet spell.
You have a great
all rangers
silence.
Have Pass Without Trace. If you say, I cast Pass Without Trace on this wind...
But also, if someone in your party has silence, you do this wind.
Thank you.
I feel like
silence as a spell.
It's
and
so
I feel like it's underutilized and yet is also sometimes difficult to utilize.
Yeah.
So, you know, goes both ways.
Yeah, I also think that the way it ended up was good, too, because I know Brennan does that, too. It'll be like, if you want to use a spell in, like, a slightly different way than is written, you do an arcana check to, like, cast it especially well or that, like, precise way you want to do it. That's cool. But it's also, I anytime the DM says, are you sure you want to do that? And you say yes, you have to be willing to accept the consequences. So, yeah, so they were wrong fully. Mm-hmm. You gave them, you like went above and beyond to accommodate them. But yeah, as anytime somebody says something crazy and you go, do you really want to be crazy right now?
It's also
and they
really
say, yes, I do.
It's also really funny to picture just this huge, like, torrential
just
wind.
A tornado.
Just like dead silent.
Yeah.
Everyone's just like,
right. Well, no, the people, you would hear the people screaming as their bones were crushed by wind.
Like a little bit.
Yeah, just
I think you should be able to put, you should be able to roll an insight check on the DM when they say that to you.
Yeah.
You say, are you sure? You're like, hold on, what am I not thinking about? Oh, that wind is loud. Fuck.
I think that DMs are too nice and they should not say, are you sure about that? They should say, are you sure about that, you fucking idiot?
Like, that would be a little more clear. Certainly.
Do you want to die today?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, were you looking to die today?
Do you wish for death, stranger?
We grew up together. What are you saying that?
Also, why don't you go get some food?
Oh, no! My XP!
Oh,
no.
My
XP is gone!
Showing up with a tray of hot dogs as everyone's leveling up.
Oh, did we get another level? Not me? Shit.
I would have spiked all the food on the ground. Yeah. Get out of here.
What's the funniest food to spike? I think hot dogs is pretty close, but I feel like, is there something better to spike? Like a cake, a full cake maybe?
You're saying like throw on the ground, not like put drugs into, right?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Okay. Like throw on the
specify.
We were doing a gesture. Everything in the podcast could hear.
I mean, hold on. It's like this.
Yeah, great. Like that. Awesome.
Thank you.
He's so
excellent physical joke.
Okay, so we are sentencing the, players then in this.
I feel, okay, mm-hmm. I want to walk it back now. I feel bad because I'm also a GM that's like, okay, I'll allow it.
Yeah.
You cuties.
But I think overall we're on the DM side no matter what, because the players were crazy for arguing, but then also the DM came up with a nice way.
Yeah. I think you handled it perfectly.
Yeah.
100%. But maybe the thing we can rule on is this magical wind spell loud or not?
It's definitely loud.
It's definitely loud.
Because if it does anything, I was going to say that it's crazy to argue like because it's magic, it wouldn't make noise. Because like, I don't know, if you're going to make an argument that it's like harmless or something, then what's the point of casting the spell? If it's just like a light breeze or something, then it's not a wall of wind anymore.
Yeah.
I'm real stupid, but I do know enough science to know that like when you do that much wind, it causes like friction against the molecules in the air, and like the friction produces noise. So like I
think about the molecules.
Think about the molecules.
You just said, I'm stupid and then said multiple
and then
words.
So much science. That's where I was. That's where I was.
I don't know anything about science, but science.
All right. Here's the thing. When you preface it by saying I'm stupid, if you're wrong, it doesn't count.
Right.
You're giving that like, so much be a big city lawyer. But
exactly.
Which is written three paragraphs on the Patreon being like actually molecules are frictionless because
shit.
Well, you fooled me. I'm ready to take science.
I heard
AP
friction
bio
and I was just game.
Yeah, sold.
I was on board.
It's enough for you.
Okay, so we need to sentence someone because this court means nothing if we don't. If we don't.
So we're on the DM side because the players were quite ridiculous here.
A bit silly.
And you went above and beyond for them. Something wind related perhaps.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, you know what would be actually, oh wait, no, this, I can't, sometimes I think of like nice things.
Well, we can do something nice for the DM.
We can do a nice thing for the DM. We can't
do. Like,
the players
like
have to drive into a tornado.
Yeah, the players have to drive into a tornado.
Wind is just nice and easy,
with a bunch
right?
of those ping pong balls from that tornado.
From Twister?
We've all been thinking about Twister the whole time. Yeah. Maybe first time you drop it and you did it. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure I've seen Twister. Wind is loud.
They have to watch Twister twice.
Twister
in one sitting.
And you gotta do a twister.
Go to the bathroom.
And then I think for the DM, we give them a little spa day that's like all wind, right?
Oh, that's cool.
Like kind of like
a wind bath?
Hair styled by the wind. Sort of like
is a wind bath thing?
Hair styled.
It sounds like
gonna do that.
That's what I was saying. Like just really gentle touches from like a gentle wind.
Just like a masseuse going like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never wanted anything less than a person blowing on me.
Just blowing on
in
you?
In my mind, it's just wind that's doing it, not a person blowing. But if that's hell, what you hell. Want, then I that's also hell. Will do that. Okay.
What if you give the DM like a little Beyonce fan?
Okay.
So whenever they're doing narrative.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay,
so,
that's really
so
good.
So your players have to watch Twister twice, okay. And you get a little fan that during intense moments you can turn on.
Yeah. And we're going to give you a little PA that will like wave a big piece of iron that's going to make like a thunder noise.
Wow.
That's
good. Yeah. Okay, I love it. Okay.
And you can watch Twister as many times as you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can just only the one watch time. It twice.
Twister, Thrister, as many times as you want to go.
Yeah.
So ordered. Next up, we've got UNG to the effort. For some reason, a lot of people said effervescent, and I'm feeling it.
It's good.
To the effervescent.
They're a lot more respectful
bailiff
to you than they are to Jade.
There were some people who were mean, and I have to be honest, I loved it too. to the effervescent bailiff Emily and pretty great justices, I bring to you the case of the dog on camera. We play online, and a few of our players have dogs. Okay. Occasionally, players will turn on their camera to show what their dogs are doing. I'm not a dog person and do not understand the fascination myself. But others like it.
A lot of people are going to turn against this person right away. Literally. But I'm going to say it's a very bitter cat person.
Because
people hate cats so much and feel the need. I do have resentment for dogs.
Interesting. Sure. Okay.
But just to phrase it like, I'm not a dog person. I don't quite understand what these organisms are up to.
Even just that quote that I said, I have resentment for dogs, I feel uncomfortable saying.
I think some of the things that people, that they say later, will maybe tickle you guys in a way that you understand where this person's coming from.
I'm on you inside right now.
We have a player who isn't very invested in the role-playing part of D&D. He will often keep himself muted while the others are holding scenes, unless his dog is in the room, in which case he will switch on the camera to show his very vocal dog and turn on his mic so we can hear the adorable pupper making noises and playing with us. Yeah, there's a couple words in here that one that you know is coming. Last session, we had a scene where one character was begging their brother not to throw their life away in a doomed attempt to protect a town of Myconids from a demon prince. This player saw his dog, turned on the camera and his mic, and let his dog cry and whine into it, drowning out the entire scene. While I wanted to have him harshly server muted, other players in the group say, "It's a cute doggo," but the pupper wants to play with us. I'm not the DM, so can't rule no dogs at the table myself. Do I have a leg to stand on if I insist no dogs at the virtual table?
You
dang.
I like this one because it's so polarizing in so many ways. Because people who are dog people then hear pupper and doggo and are like, wait, but I'm not that.
You can feel the dog people on this half.
You need to embrace the heel. These people are annoying.
These people are so annoying.
My God. That's so annoying.
And you're heckin' adorable puppo.
Oh, God. Disgusting.
Well, we know where I stand.
There's a time and a place for your heckin' sweet
I'm gonna leap over the table and attack you.
I want to throw hands.
Oh, you'll do a visual joke, Merv? You'll do it?
No, I described it.
Fuck.
God damn it.
Show, not tell.
Fuck, it's airtight.
Tell, not show on the podcast.
I've got nothing.
God, this is so funny.
Right? It's a ride. Right?
It's so funny because you are in an impossible position. You have to ban dogs at the table.
That just sounds so wild.
Some people are born to change the world for the better,
right.
And they don't get to live in that good world because he's going to die. He will be martyred at the cross.
You unfortunately
going to be like no dogs.
You live in interesting times.
Just
unfortunately,
to get guys to stop saying pupper and dog.
Exactly. One, it's a dog.
Mm-hmm.
This is also. I'm gonna give a good old fashioned Murph ruling. You need new friends.
You gotta get new ones.
God. I would say had this not escalated to pupper and stuff, this all what was the person's name before that was the nice person? Was it Jammy?
Jammy.
Jammy, okay.
Jammy's
this has Jammy's brother vibes of having a serious scene of pleading with your brother about something. It's like, please, we cannot face the hobgoblins alone. And then somebody's just like, look at my dog, man.
Yeah, why? I think beyond the obvious, like, annoying but language.
Beyond doggo and pupper.
It
is kind of
like, it would be a little disappointing, too. It would be a little intense to just have a dog whining in the background.
Like, hey, guys, chicken salad's on camera now.
Stop, that's a cat name and you know
also,
it.
And like eating your mic while you say that. Hey, guys,
yeah, like
my beagle just fell asleep. Yeah.
Like, listen, it's snoring a little bit.
So okay. how does this person navigate the situation?
Well, we have to, I mean, this is a quote, we have to sentence someone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, of course we sentence the doggo people.
Yeah, the dog person is bad.
The thing was, do I have a leg to stand on if I insist no dogs at the virtual table? I don't know that you do. If you're at a table, if you're at a virtual table where everyone's excited about the dogs, I don't think that you can insist that.
You can be like, specifically, they mentioned that instance of somebody doing a role play session and then like focused on the dog.
Yeah.
I think you could say like, no more stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think you...
No dogs during role play.
I think you are absolutely correct. And I think it would be very funny for you to just say, don't show your dogs ever, dog ban. That's very funny villain behavior. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unfortunately, the world's just not made for people like us. And people will get mad at you. But
is there a way where you can just be like, hey, could you like get the dog or like you cool it or just mute yourself real quick? It all sounds bad. It all sounds bad to say. I don't know what to do here.
I think you could say, like, no dogs on the mic. Like, you can turn on your camera to show your dog. But, like, no dogs on the mic while we're playing.
Okay. But even,
like,
even just dog. Can you imagine just a dog chasing its tail on video while you're, like, doing a scene?
I would
be
so distracted by that. Uh-huh. I have to be honest. I would not be. I would just be watching the dog.
Yeah.
Like, just.
Look, that's when you put a little post-it note over the, like, bad frame.
There you go.
And you keep moving on. Like, if you know there's a person that's going to constantly do that, you're like, moving on. And now I'm going to cry about my brother, dad, something.
Yeah. I don't know what it was. I'm sorry. Which family member were we crying about? Just I think you have grounds to be like, hey, can we have maybe dog meeting time up top? Like, let's all talk about it.
But the point is, the dog is doing something like heckin' cute right now. It's not bad to say.
We were so young.
It made me ill.
Okay. I think you got to say. Are we sentencing? Yeah.
We're sentencing to the players.
Okay. Yeah, we got to sentence the players.
And how are we sentencing them?
Mm. Yeah. They had to let their dogs go.
They had to leave them in a park.
Justice Murphy. No, they have to pay for a dog babysitter.
Yeah,
that's good.
And there's a cute little dog, and they can watch on a screen on their phone what their dog is doing, but they can't force everyone to do it.
Pro business.
There you go.
You got to shell out for one of those fancy dog hotels where they all get to go in the swimming pool.
Exactly.
And like, it's so fancy that they have like four golden retrievers like on staff just to like pad the numbers
like
a little
Babe
bit.
Oh, I like in the that. City. They go to a hotel.
You talk about this movie so much.
Second time I've heard about that movie in like 2 days.
It's heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
Em's always talking about Babe 2 Pig in the City.
Crazy.
Okay. So
they got to put their dogs up in a dog hotel while they play. And also you have to send $35 to a cat person.
Just a cat person?
Just a cat person.
I thought you were going to say a charity. You're like, no, just a person. No. Just a cat
just
person.
Just you, a man that owns cats.
To Brian Murphy. Yeah. Send it to the P.O. box.
Send it on Zelle.
You also have to write 4 postcards from your dog's perspective from the hotel.
Now and those I read. Can I visit the hotel? Okay. So ordered. Next up we have, we're doing a little, I got a couple good Dice Christ confessions. So we're going to do a mid-session confession.
Oh, wow.
Mid-session confession.
Hans D says.
It's like when you go to church on Wednesday. What?
Well, I feel like we've really, really
Is
tried.
It Ash Wednesday already?
It's Ash Wednesday.
I know. The only time I ever did that, I went to a Lutheran school. I got a really bad like reaction. I had a rash of a cross on my forehead.
Oh, no.
And kids told me I was possessed by a demon.
Oh, my God.
Which is cool for a third grader to hear. You're like, I am. No, it's a psoriasis.
Sorry, no, it's actually really itchy though, guys.
Okay, so Hans D writes, to the clergy of Dice Christ, I come to you with a confession today. My wife and I had a beautiful wedding back in July, and we demonstrated our unity by rolling 2 dice down our dice tower. The officiant...
Did someone roll a one during their ceremony?
You never did. You never
the
did.
Officiant explained to the wedding attendees that we love playing Dungeons & Dragons and that the D20 was used frequently in the game.
Okay.
A 20 was pretty much a guarantee for success, and a 1 could lead to failure and difficult roads ahead.
Double that one.
We went ahead and rolled our dice, and I ended up rolling a natural 1.
Yes!
The officiant announced excitedly that I had rolled a 20, which he said he would do regardless of the number. My wife rolled after me and actually got a natural 20, which ended with all of us legitimately being excited and incredibly surprised. The attendees cheered and seemed to love this unity ceremony. The officiant explained how amazing this was and that the statistics of actually getting 2 nat 20s was pretty rare. At the reception, our attendees kept saying how amazing this was and asking if our dice were weighted. So to the clergy of Dice Christ, we ask you if Dice Christ would truly be offended by the small fibbage on the beautiful wedding day of 2 D&D nerds, or if Dice Christ would bless the ceremony and the newlyweds regardless. We patiently await your grace with or judgment.
So we all think divorce, right?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is
yeah.
over.
Yeah, it's pretty catastrophic
divorce. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's how
it's. And it's his fault.
Yeah, yeah.
It's unfortunately your fault.
You began your relationship with a lie.
It was predicated on a lie.
I wouldn't be mad if I was the other partner and rolled okay. But
only
because
of the nat 20.
Yeah.
That's the thing is, I think Dice Christ has already had some cheeky little fun with you.
You know
what I mean? Giving you the nat 20 after you already lied about the first
that
one.
That was almost like impish, like kind of like, I see you.
Yeah.
Here's the nat 20 that you just said you got.
Yeah. Explain this away.
It's really funny to me to leave this on us telling you to get divorced, so yeah, you have to get divorced.
You can get remarried after, but you do have to get divorced.
Remarried. Yeah,
you have to do one of those like you have to renew your vows.
Yeah, you have to renew.
That's smart.
Like 4 months, but you have to renew them now.
That's right. Yeah. At the time of this, renew your vows.
Yes,
and if either of you gets a nat 1,
yeah,
you have to. You own it, and you say for better or for worse. It's in the vows.
Yeah, you say for better.
You have to find. Yeah, you have to find a registered DM and roll in front of in front of the table to renew your vows.
I'm going
to
become a notary public, so I can be in charge.
The idea of it being your wedding and just sweating as people talk to you and like, I can't believe you got 2 nat 20s, and just sitting there being like, I know.
That's the part that made me want to choose this. It's like someone just like
so good.
You spend your entire you did. Your penance, which is you spent your entire reception lying to your friends and family.
You've gone through way more than you should have had to.
Yep,
you
lied, is real.
You lied to an amount of people who don't care about the truth. That's the hard part. Your aunt is there and she doesn't care about the truth. But you still have to lie to her.
The officiant is so slick for like keeping it going. Just being like, seeing that second nat 20, just keeping it stone faced and just being like, that's really statistically rare.
Keeping it going, that's awesome. The officiant is like quietly throwing a grenade in by digging the heels so deep.
Yeah.
By being like,
I would have done
another
it.
Nat 20, statistically so rare. Truly, this day is blessed. While you sit there and know it's a fucking
sweating.
Lie.
And that's why you have to have a dice camera at your wedding.
Yes. A dice camera and also luck points.
Explain
to your entire family what luck points
that's
are.
That's very funny. You're like, actually, I have halfling luck.
Yeah,
and you're like, you're 5'8", Ted, will you? What?
If everyone looks under your chairs and you'll see a player's handbook, open to the feats page.
Just, it's super tense. I can reroll. It's okay, Coldwell, we'll just say you got a nat 20. I can reroll.
Okay.
So, so good. This.
you are absolved. Your ceremony was already ruined. your reception was,
was at least complicated by how much you had to pretend.
Immediate
Okay, luck. Next up from Trevor W. This is back to D&D court cases. It was
Fine.
Just a mid-session confession. Oh, you want another confession? Because I can do it.
Holy shit.
God. Don't do it.
What's
Don't
happening?
Do it.
Okay. Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Mint Mobile.
It's spring cleaning. We're getting rid of the things that don't serve us anymore, and you know what doesn't serve anyone? Expensive phone bills. If you'd like to declutter your finances, it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/pawpaw. That's mintmobile.com/pawpaw. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/PAWPAW. $45 upfront payment minimum required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Goodbye, sweeties.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want, and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Dear honorable judges and hemp milk drinking bailiff Emily, I had a DM who ran two different groups.
You know what? It's been a while since we talked about hemp milk on the podcast.
I would rather let Abria live in the confusion.
I think I want to hear Abria's take on the hemp milk song. So a long time ago, Emily had... used to have a song about hemp milk.
I used to make my own hemp milk.
She used to make her own hemp milk, and she would sing a hemp milk song to me. The listeners know about this because it was so crazy, because it was a call and response song.
Yeah.
But she would... Yes. So, Em, give me the... Give us the song, please. Okay.
So, So, it's basically like, give me a hemp milk. You got your hemp. You got your milk. So so the response is him saying milk.
But he says,
but I
say,
give me
a
hemp.
So why would you say,
yell milk?
Why would you yell milk, right? Yeah, this is great. Actually, great D&D core. We could get an unbiased
official ruling.
New listener.
That is,
it's also it's extremely worth mentioning that to make hemp milk, you have to repeatedly whack hemp with a bag. You have a bag.
Yeah, you put all the hemp seeds in.
I have a nut milk bag. I get you.
Yeah.
But people at home haven't made
it. I live in California.
It can be a little laborious, which is why you need a nice call and response song.
But it's not a call and response because you're telling
me.
So let's do.
You called for a different response.
Well, I like to be defied.
Okay.
Emily, I have a bag here.
I like to be defied. It's very good.
That's okay.
What do you... Okay, so...
Are you going to make hemp milk from your...
Just if you need a prop?
Some dice milk.
So let's hear... So for Abria's sake, let's hear Murph's version.
Okay.
Give me a hemp.
Hemp. But you could just write a different song.
You know what? I'm not thirsty anymore.
Oh my God. Honestly, that was so damning. I'm back on your side.
And then your version of the song?
Give me a hemp.
Milk.
You got your hemp. You got your milk.
You get excited when you hear milk is the thing.
Okay. I've always wanted to yell milk as loud as I can.
Okay, then let's get back to Trevor W. I am going to read it from the start again so we can hear it again. Good Dear call. Honorable judges and hemp milk drinking bailiff Emily. Now you have a real context for that.
It's good.
I had a DM who ran two different groups. We always joked about who the crazier party was and who would win in a 4v4 level 10 PvP until... Finally, it was set to happen. We all made characters, picked magic items. Each team was given two common and talked strategy for a whole week until the day before someone asked if two bags of holding within each other was allowed in the context of our one shot. The DM said yes, which launched some players into fits of complaints, and others started trying to figure out how to use this loophole to astral nuke the other team away with no way of returning. Ultimately, the controversy ended up causing the cancellation of the PvP and the disbandment of both groups. I asked you, were the players right to be upset? Would you allow the bag nuke?
How does the bag nuke work?
I don't know. So honestly,
you got it. Go ahead, Neil. Oh, yeah.
No. Listen, I'm an idiot. I don't know how science works.
Stop! You're going to
the friction of the two bags rubbing against each other.
Yeah, so the rule for bags of holding, and similarly with like haversacks, is you can't put another one inside it, or it just sort of like they divide against themselves and explode, and everything gets blasted to the astral sea, I think. So it's one of those little like, everyone has that like, well, if I drop one, another one. It's a Coke and Mentos in the D&D world.
So essentially, you throw,
Yeah.
This just seems like a bunch of the players were like, we read the book.
We read all the book. It's also weird though, because it's about the players versus the other players and not the characters, and that's kind of freaking me out
because
they rolled new characters for this PvP, like the PvP, so I feel like they're taking this very, very personally.
I think it's also like you're taking away the fun of PvP with a nuke because it then there's no fighting.
Why even build characters if you just
and it's also like you're setting this up basically like a sport match, and like sports matches have rules, like that would be illegal. You can't bring like,
you can't just have like Ezekiel Elliott show up to the stadium with a nuke. I guess the Cowboys won. Elliott was the one that detonated it. Yeah. So
he just showed up with that football, the nuclear football.
That was good. You brought it back to a thing in the world.
And now everyone knows.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I guess the DM probably should have squashed this as soon as it started to get heated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what? This person kind of ends with, would you allow the bag nuke? And I think it would be fine to be like, I don't think that's going to be the most interesting PvP.
Yeah.
Does it say how far the bag nuke explodes? Like, is there... I think there is.
I think it's very specifically like written in, like
interesting.
This is
if it was like just, if it was just like an attack, normal attack range, I might allow it, because it's just like, if it's an uncommon item or whatever, I could see people getting a creative with it.
I think you have to, if you want this, you have to factor it into the game. You have to have each player's team has one bag of holding.
Yeah.
So then there's like the option to create the nuke, but like it requires.
You have to steal their bag. Oh, that's fun, because now it's capture the bag.
Wait, we made the game better. Do it now.
Yeah.
We made the game better. I still think though that that's its own game, right?
Yeah, that's still not
PvP.
I think you should limit your item selection to like one. Uncommon level like weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're a caster, you get one thing that can boost your casting.
Yeah.
If you're a melee fighter, you get one thing. Like, because then all you're doing, if you get to pick two magic items, is trying to pick the cheekiest combination.
Yeah.
It's like Smash Brothers. Like, you leave some items on.
Here. Okay. So if the bag is overloaded, pierced or torn, it ruptures and is destroyed, and its contents are scattered in the astral plane, the bag is turned inside out, blah, blah, blah. Placing a bag of holding inside an extra dimensional space created by a handy haversack, portable hole, or similar item instantly destroys both items. So in this case, two bags of holding, and opens a gate to the astral plane. The gate originates where the one item was placed inside the other. Any creature within 10 feet of the gate is sucked through it to a random location on the astral plane. Then the gate closes. The gate is one way only and can't be reopened. So this I feel like
I mean, you could suck someone out of the game, but you wouldn't based on player formation.
Something blows up.
This is some like Berenstain Bears bullshit. The Mandela effect. Because I could have sworn it blew up.
I think that I wonder if just like the visual that would be described by it sounds like it's an explosion.
No, I
almost.
Think it's that it, they get sucked they into get the sucked astral in, plane. So it is like
to the black hole.
Yeah, so it is like a black hole. So it is like kind
by
of an
the absence of them.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think in this,
which doesn't even feel like besting someone. Really, it might just feel like a shallow.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's just like it's like having the Super Bowl, but there's a large hadron collider on the field, and like maybe it's going to open a wormhole. You don't know.
Whoa, mm-hmm. That's fun.
It's kind of fun. It's bulky. It's going
to
be bulky.
CERN needs to build a football field.
What is? I think it's kind of interesting because they're allowed to have uncommon items. Mm-hmm. It's an uncommon item. If people decide that they want to take that, I think it's a fun strategy. But also, the person who is going to put the bag inside the other bag is going to get sucked in.
Almost certainly.
Almost certainly, mm-hmm. unless they are going to throw it or something like that. And if you do that, Mage that's going to require maybe. Some kind of check mm-hmm. or something like that. Mm-hmm. But even with Mage Hand, Mage Hand has, 30 feet of distance or something like that? So you could do it with a Mage Hand.
But it's like, this is going to be like a black hole. Things. You're going to have people who are going to get sucked in and then they're not going to be able to play at all, which seems against the spirit of the game.
Yeah.
You should play the spirit of the game and kill them and reduce the HP to zero.
Yeah.
That's the right way to prove which group is the best.
Exactly. Yep. Okay, so who are we? I guess we're going to sentence the DM for allowing it, right?
I got to be honest. It doesn't sound that bad. I mean, it's very clever. I think that the mistake was once this turned into fighting, the DM should have just stepped in and been like, all right, let's cut it. You know?
Don't need a bag of holding in a PvP fight. Like,
exactly.
What other stuff are you holding? I only gave you one other item. You can hold that in your other hands.
It's really only fun if it's something that's there as like a surprise, because then it's kind of funny. Yeah. Like if we're playing PvP right now and opening thing, Abrea throws a bag at me and throws another bag at me and I disappear. Well, that's really funny. And it's just
really
like,
funny,
they had two common items, uncommon items, and that's what they chose.
Yeah.
I think that's, I don't know.
You have two attacks and they're both just throwing a bag.
Yeah, they both just throw a bag, yeah.
Okay, who are we sentencing? Anyone?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, this one's weird because it's like we're being asked to like make a specific ruling.
Yeah.
As opposed to like,
would
you allow?
Okay.
I want to sentence them to having to play this out with the one bag on each team rules.
Okay. Capture the bag.
Capture the bag.
You must play capture the bag even though none of you are friends anymore.
Repair your friendship with a contentious capture the bag.
Yes.
Okay. So ordered.
Great.
Now I have one that is like actual real life drama.
Whoa.
Okay. You're telling us about this off mic.
It's juicy. It's
a little too juicy, maybe?
It might be too juicy. Would you like to hear it and
decide?
I've never
had too much juice.
If it's too juicy?
give it to us.
Give us the juice.
It's like real drama.
I want to know.
CW level drama.
Ooh, shit.
Is that even still a network? I don't know.
Who could say?
Some guy who likes chicken writes in. It gets more serious.
Okay.
To the angelic justices and the impish bailiff, I present a case of romance and treachery. May it please the court. Me and my long-term girlfriend are currently playing in a campaign with an old friend of mine as the DM. My girlfriend's character is involved in a passionate relationship with an NPC played by the DM, and I'm starting to feel uncomfortable during their role-playing scenes. I wouldn't mind except for two things. Firstly, I've played D&D with my friend for about 5 years, and he's never expressed interest in role-playing romance before as a player or as a DM, and he hasn't pursued it with other characters in the campaign. Secondly, a few months ago, my friend told me while drunk that he has feelings for my girlfriend and he would never try anything, but thought I should know. At the time, I told him it was okay. He can't control his feelings after all. But now it kind of seems like he is trying something. I haven't spoken to my girlfriend about it for fear I'm overreacting. But justices, I have to know. Am I being a jealous Jake?
You need to talk to everyone about this. You need to talk to your girlfriend.
You gotta talk to your dad.
You need to talk.
Gotta talk to everybody. You have to go to therapy like this.
We all gotta
talk. Talk to your male person.
Honestly.
Em, you were right.
Talk to your dog.
This one's so juicy.
Yeah. I know. That's why I was like, this is fascinating. I would like to bring up the option that.
Oh, my goodness.
This is
some guy who likes chicken, the submitter, submitted it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that there is...
The pivot is that the DM mentioned having feelings.
Yeah, yeah. When I got to that, I was like...
Uh-oh.
Yeah, because when it first started off, I was kind of like, I could see, it's just like they might be overreacting, but at the same time, it's like you shouldn't have to play at a table with like, even if you're not involved with anyone at the table, if two people are just like, we're fucking and making out and everything, and if you're like, I don't want to be at that table, I don't want to do that, you have the right to like talk to other people and be like, hey, I don't know that I want to go this deep into it, let alone like, you know, you're like romantically involved with the people at the table, so it's a little weird. Then the so on top good. Of it, that the guy actually has feelings. Is so good. So bad.
Let me ask the question.
Squeeze my legs.
The first half of this. The first half of this is a regular D&D court question.
Yes.
And it's Riverdale.
Yeah,
now
this is fully Riverdale.
A guy who likes chicken. I know a guy who likes chicken. His name is freaking Jughead.
Yeah. I know a guy who likes chicken, and it's your fucking friend.
Yeah.
Okay. You like chicken? So does your friend. So does your DM.
But the girlfriend is just loving it. I think it's just like. This is great.
It's really funny.
That's the question, though. Ooh. Like, when you're watching these scenes, like, do they have chemistry?
I bet they do, but I will say, we are all performers. Yeah. I've had incredible chemistry with people that I don't have feelings for.
100%.
That's true.
So, like, that is not indicative, though it can be indicative.
Yeah.
But it's often not, but it can be.
Look, we're living in a post- A Court of Fae and Flower Society. I had NPCs in the bag. I was like, I'm going to flirt with everyone at the table so hard if they give me two looks. Like,
right.
Well, here's what I built for you. A time to romance all of these people.
I, as a player, flirted with you.
I love that. It was great.
God, I love just like pressing my piggy little nose against the window of this case.
Yes, I know. It's so messy, pulling someone aside
and being like, just so you know, I love your girlfriend, but I never do anything.
Not in this world.
You are much too kind.
I never
kind.
Do anything but Schmoody, the barkeep at the Fish and Ale Tavern, mate.
This is crazy. I think you were even too nice to not get mad at your friends like right off the bat. You know what I mean? Because to be like, oh, like you can't control your feelings. It's like you kind of can though.
Yeah.
Or like you can be like a mature adult. Like you don't have to.
Question. Do we suggest that maybe this person talk to the friend before they talk to the girl? Friend, because it might be the more respectful thing to the friend, and even like not having to wrap the girlfriend up in this and make her feel weird. Like, it might be the thing to be like, hey, remember that conversation we had about you having feelings for my girlfriend, and also this super romantic thing. What's going on there?
I think you go straight to the girlfriend and you say everything.
Look, the moment this DM made their feelings, the other person, like, not chicken lover's problem.
Yeah.
Like, there's something so weird. It's like, I have to tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to tell you. Yeah, like,
you can absolutely shut the fuck up.
Totally.
You're right.
It's like, if you're never going to do anything,
I don't need to know.
If Caldwell's like, I really hate Murph's glasses or something, and then just like right before we started recording was like, hey, Murph, I just like, I need to get this off my chest. I hate the way you look. Like, that's not a good, you don't have to tell people everything.
Agreed. You don't have to talk about this.
This normalize saying less. And I'm not going to do anything about. I need you to be haunted by it as well.
Exactly. I need you to shoulder this with me.
Your emotional burden is not my problem.
Ducky.
Yeah, you can just keep it to yourself.
Thank you.
But also,
everyone moves through stuff in their own time, and you don't have to bring other people into
it. Also, what a bad idea to if this DM, let's say this DM wasn't a crazy person and didn't go confess to their friend that they're in love with their girlfriend or whatever. Even if they didn't do that, but they had a crush on them, and so they're just trying to like, you know, keep it whatever. For then that DM to go and like. Make traps for themselves by having like like this. Romances with the per- with the, with the person is this crazy.
This nasty little DM wanted
it's
to be
so
caught.
Nasty.
No,
the DM wanted to be caught, and then it was like, "You're taking too long to realize my love." So I'm just gonna tell you.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you're right. This, they want to be caught.
They want to be caught. It's they want like a
this
shot.
Is multiple sessions too, right?
Like this is going on. Like this is
normally when you're DMing, you have like a little like period after the session where you're like, "How did that go? Let me replay everything that happened. Yeah. Let me look at my notes. Let me look at my romantic. Literal notes that I took."
And you're like, romantic and beautiful. I have so many hearts around this one person's name.
That's
oh well. Time to play some combat.
I have a memory of everyone else looking a little uncomfortable.
Yep.
So I launched into minute 35 of my scene with Esmeralda.
Horrifying.
I suggest you just blow all this up.
And
tell your girlfriend.
Go to the girlfriend. Blow it up. Also, I just truly feel like 5 years is not a close enough friendship.
You're right.
You literally like had a thing that would cause concern in any D&D game anyway, and then followed it up with this information, and now you expect me to consider like to have all of that and sit and watch that with the extra context that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You're not that good a friend.
Yeah.
Because a good friend would pine away slowly and quietly,
right?
Like they did in the olden days,
right?
Yeah, like a little blouse on in a bathtub.
Have one little locket
on a rocking chair.
You have a little locket.
Yeah.
These people need to get a lot. Like,
normalize pining. Normalize quiet pining.
Normalize quiet pining. I also just really, really like almost the slow, like I can't help but see this very filmic of like a person with them on either side and just the slow, slow zoom into their face as we hear this incredibly sexual romantic scene happening and just like.
And just sitting there just with like a really forced smile. This is great role play, guys. This is awesome. This is really
DM's
good.
Put on like a real nice Inya track in the background.
I check for traps. Okay, I'll wait.
I hope y'all get what you need.
This is real people.
This is real life. And gosh, I hope y'all can figure
there's
this out.
No,
hey, email
no
me with how this goes after.
I want to give us an update.
Blow it all up.
Blow it up.
Tell your girlfriend everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think you have to, because I'm sort of joking around, but also, I think, first off, if someone pulled me aside and was like, I've been in love with Emily this whole time, I'd be like,
I've done that
first
to you
off,
twice.
First off. And I was like, Apriya, please.
There's a ring in your pocket.
You can't do this. You can't do this to me. She likes you more. You can't do this.
The diamond is huge.
Nothing but the best for my expert. Sorry, continue.
No, but if somebody said that to me, I'd be like, dude, what the fuck is the matter? And then I would go home and I'd be like, Emily, this guy is crazy. Like he did the stupidest shit. Can you believe this?
Yeah, you're right.
You got it.
Knowing that, like the fact that he told you, you're right, you're totally right. This is someone kind of being like, share this burden with me.
They put this on you for no reason. You're being much too nice.
You gotta talk to some people.
This will be like a true test, because like if your friend can recover from this, like if you blow this up and they're like, you know what, I was wrong, that's fucked up, I'm gonna back off, things are gonna be like better now. And if they improve, then maybe that is a lifelong friend.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
All right.
There's just so many other people in the world.
You are being sentenced to give us a fucking update about this.
Yeah, that's the sentence.
Yeah, my God. You guys just are sentenced to having to deal with this, unfortunately. Yeah. This is tough.
I'm so sorry.
This is not on you at all. That's a tough situation. Yeah.
And now let's end it with a little, one more little dice Christ confession.
I need to be purified.
Yeah, it's a nice little cleansing one.
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca J. writes, a dice Christ confession to the dice, the Christ, and the holy symbol. A few years ago, I was invited to join a friend's D&D game. When we rolled initiative for our first encounter, the DM asked us to roll a d12 for initiative instead of a d20. I thought this was weird, but it was my first time playing D&D, and I figured this was a strange house rule. Turns out, this group doesn't use d20s at all and rolled d12s for everything instead. When I asked why, they just said it's what they preferred. Also, the DM randomly selected a familiar... for my Beastmaster Ranger.
Cursed.
I have to get to this part without
Dice
laughing.
Christ condemns everyone.
No. I have to get to my favorite part of it. Also, the DM.
Oh, no. She didn't make it.
Are you doing? Are you melting down the explosion? Emily's doing the thing where she laughs so hard she instantly starts crying.
Yeah, she's gonna try to hold it in.
Okay.
Also, the DM randomly selected a familiar.
This is why we watch it. Yes. This is why we watch.
Oh, yes. Okay, my God.
You got this.
I'm strong, I'm powerful.
No.
My eyes are not so wet. Also, the DM randomly selected a familiar from my Beastmaster Ranger by flipping to a random page in the Monster Manual and pointing at
I'm dying.
The first creature he saw. This is going to be underwhelming now. So my first level character had a sea hag familiar.
You have just an old woman as a familiar? It's just a gangi. My familiar is gangi.
Hi. This is someone's grandma.
I seek Dice Guy's forgiveness for using this D12 based system and for not speaking up about my too powerful familiar. Roth, the D12 rolling sea hag.
This is all cursed.
That's wild.
Dice Guy has to cleanse this game.
No.
I'm just imagining playing a Beastmaster and then just showing up and they're like, great, you summon your beast. A woman crawls out from a puddle.
Yeah.
And she's going to roll a D12. To attack with a +9
right away.
That's, I'm just picturing that's this guy wild. Like pulling out the book, be like, really excited to play. My mom just got me the book, Dungeons and Dorngons.
Dungeons and Doorknobs.
It's basically the same, my mom said.
They didn't want to have to spend all that money and putting a D20 in there. Oof.
Is excommunication an option? Like, what if we just remove them from the church?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that this person, they rolled with it, and I think that, like, Dice Christ likes
you can
a PC
still be
to
saved.
Roll. Yeah. Was it? Okay. So used all, but I think that this DM is excommunicated.
Dice right. Christ yes. can save you, but the rest of your party is unfortunately
that's
excommunicated.
That's wild.
Your D12 rolling
yeah,
party.
Please.
Can you imagine at any point for any reason opening
getting
the Monster Manual randomly and having that anything happen with that
horrifying.
And having it be good?
Yeah, the moment you start cracking, I was like, okay, what are the three dumbest things? And the answer was mostly they're not animals.
Yeah.
So you're losing the beast and beastmaster pretty like, quickly.
How long does it take to close the book and open it up again? Or to realize as soon as you fuck up the first time, just be like, you know what, this was actually a bad idea, gang. We're going to go ahead and look at the animals in the back.
But also like trying to bond with your adult old crone from the sea.
That's a person.
Hi, Miriam.
Hello.
We're going to go into battle now.
Would you like some kelp?
Okay.
Roll a D12 to see how good the kelp
open
is.
Open your mouth.
I was really hoping you were going to be a pig.
I can turn your party member into a pig.
Ooh, she's Cersei now.
All right, this is truly cursed, but you can be saved. Dice Christ accepts you and excommunicates the DM who did this.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's just quirky for its own sake.
Yeah. The D12s is... That's
the D12, just can
so
you imagine
cursed.
Rolling a 12 and being like, yes!
Yes! A nat 12!
A nat 12! I mean, I know I've had weapons that are 12s before. Yeah. It does feel good to roll that 12, but imagine that as like... doing an ability check and being like, yes, I got a 12.
The 2 is in the wrong place.
Yeah, or just being, just
you just
getting, want
to be able to crit more often.
Doing really good on
that's
like
true.
An 8
you crit more often.
Yeah. Just like, yes, I got
I
a 9.
Crit more often. Thank you. I don't think I want to crit more often.
Yeah, it's not special.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
Really weird stuff.
Really weird stuff.
Really weird stuff.
Really
don't
weird
recommend
stuff all
it.
Around.
Yeah. Just the bizarro world.
Sweet, everybody. We're going to wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. You can listen to us and watch us over on our Patreon for some bonus cases. That's patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet. Don't do it. Don't even think about it. Don't even think
sorry.
About it. And thank you to Judge Bria Iyengar. Bria, do
justice.
You have it? Justice.
I'm a justice.
Sorry.
I don't know
justice.
The difference, but it feels important.
I don't know. It feels important. Yeah. Thank you.
It does feel
thank
a little
you.
Bit more
longer word.
Justice.
It's a better word.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you plugged a
you
quarter
so,
of that.
Yeah.
Hours.
Yeah. Go to Dimension 20 where everyone here goes and watch things
everyone.
On there.
You know.
Perfect. Everyone.
Sweet. Yes. Abri will be joining us over on the Patreon, so check that out. Caldwell, anybody have anything? anything? We're good.
Yeah, I'm going to be the big brother in the upcoming season of Dimension 20. I'm just going to be standing in the background.
You're going to be Jamie's brother.
Do you promise?
Brother.
This is a bit I promise I won't forget.
You have one.
What was that?
You have one earbud in, and you're like blasting Primus.
It'll just be me going, "Hey, Big Brother did not think that was funny. Let's take it again. Run it back. Make a better choice."
I guess it's funny.
Make a better choice.
You know, if you're into that.
You guys are being too serious right now. Could we say something funny for the Big Brother?
Remember, he loves dick and balls.
I'm watching Grandma's Boy on my phone.
Not much else.
Oh my god.
Sweet. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use. At CH Murph is me, at Eaxford's Emily, at Caldy is Caldwell. And Abria, what are your tags?
At Quiddy
is Abria. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation.
It's the end of the show, everybody, and that means I need to shout out our benevolent council of elders, starting with Brad D, Jeffrey S, Hugh C, Later McSkater, Matt M, Jordan DJ, Cutter W, Daniel G, Dylan B, who is selling a Glad trading card for 100 brown leaves, Dungeon Mama, not sexual, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P, Michael McD, Vincent W, Mr. Cole, Victor T, a.k.a. Balnor's Boy, Dominic P, Andrew B, Justin I, Ragnar Fairdwind, TJM the Gnome Barbarian, Trele the Crayfay, Christopher B, Daniel R, Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Jerry, Master of the Guyhorn, Richard X Machina, Michael L, Taylor S, Callum L, Jack L, Sam L, Nicholas C, Thaddeator, Le Gladiator, Samuel B, Mike H, Matthew E, Way Cooler Than Angry Wheat, Adam G, Tyler F, Faust the Feisty, Panama James, Andrew the Bard, nope, sorry, just Andrew the Druid here, Adrian the Halfling Bardificer, Rex Thaniel the White, Captain Sigil, Diana DL, CC Lulu, Hercule Poirot, the Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R, Lucas B, Ryko, it's Kevin, Cody B, Calder's Cold Cum, hashtag rise my comrade, spread the camaraderie, Katie W, Taylor B, the Vengeful One-Winged Angel, Cass Skateboard Cass, Captain of the Stevens, Steven C, Mike K, Lady Taco, Brian G, Joy T, Nara, K, Jake L, Nick W, Brave the Badger, Foster the Ghostly Duck says Happy Halloween, Aurin the Asshole Ranger, Big Bad Beard of the Mad, Eric McD, Giant Monsters on the Horizon, Glad Roselle, the White Rose of Glateron, Christian A, J Dragonborn, Joe Rowe the Inapropro, Liam D, the Sandrayan, Ben A, Feldonis, John the Third, Dave H, Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Dustin S, Connor F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookfar's assistant Issy F, who is planning a Feywild style engagement party. Very cool. The Time Walker, Marky Mark, the Marvelous Mining Engineer, Cat C, Kelsey J, Porkchop, Misa of House Inzunza, Ariel the Occasional Mermaid, Valet Sea Raptor, Be Perky Always, Pat L, Akchutha A, Lauren H, Ryan S, the Bone Duster, Annie M, the Crochet Crafty Queen, the Charming Fluff, Robit CRSP, Telekitty Creations fan illustrator asking for a request, I'll say Callie Riding the Serpent, Ploops, Carly A, Addie K, AP Cleric, Lori P, Spam Gaming, also in Connecticut, Connor S, Christopher J. Pebblepot, to the Dew Riders, my first D&D party, may all our adventures be wondrous, thank you for being my friends. Salil, Leviathan, Biocourt 7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H, Trub Hopdropper, Sydney T, Jack H, Strong Caldwell, Conspiracy Theorist, Fanderay says, at CH Murph, who's a nasty little peepee boy? Garble the Moist, Lindsay W, Juicy Kiwi, seeing NADPOD live for the second time this year. Thank you, Juicy Kiwi. Champ Wild, Valen, Beep, Carly C, Emily S, Cody and Tiara P, Pendergreen's roommates, Harry Cox, Noah the Bagel of All Things, Justin LB, Tori, Levi L, Mrs. Bunny, Marcos P, Jordan P, the occasional crit reporter, Learns the Balanced Druid, Dakota JP, Frida Malo, Pagos, self-proclaimed Fae Prince, Tracy P., the Crick Elf Librarian, Friar Fritz, Andy E., Holly Hyena, Kristen Z., the I Will Use What You Love Against You DM, Leah C., Paige H., Helen of Briz, May B., Pixel Stars, Akash T., Kristen with a K., Cal, just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N., Russell H., a monk named Dilgo, yes, the whole thing, yes, every time, Neos, the novice monster hunter, our strangely familiar new friend Simon, we all had a shared dream, we sang and listened to Artemis and Parzival by Gunship, Patrick, Lorelei F., Michael the Esri Pop Idol, Morgan M., a peeling sticker, Stephen E., to the bestest, Calvin and Natalie, thank you for introducing me to D&D, Sydney and Andrew L., John Adams, yes, like the president, Meg the mail carrier of Bohemia, James F., Captain Cappy, M4L, Wayfarer, currently in a trademark dispute with Mothership over the patent on the SS Stormbjorn, Andrew B., Cope Fresh, Barpo Goodbarrel, Barbarian and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep, Welshlander, Garrett G., One Big Curd, Eric M., Mr. D., Dana D., Mr. Sillyhead, Monster Captain Renee S., Hop the Dancing Rabbit, Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of hope, Olivia the Enchanting Bard, who will totally be making money and a grand novel off of the Duck Team's tales, Blue Slade the Artificer, Michaela Robinette, Riley S., Sir Sig 93, Fico, Angry Wheat, The Game Itself Just Trying to Find Himself, Tony G., Corbo's Calamitous Cum Shot, hashtag CCC forever, sorry Jake, you should be saying sorry Murph, Josh H., Jack the Jax Jinxing Rogue, on the run with Bohemia Balls, A Horse Killed by Hard One, Mango Empanadas, Temidar, yes, I'm the twin brother of Demidar, no I'm not proud of it, Rented Mules, Trogdor the Burninator, Clementine T., Caleb L., Simone Birdlife M., this message has been brought to you by fairies in support of hashtag CCC, Alex R., Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie-wearing barbarian with a bad back, Papa Wookie, MJ, the BFG, drinking tea by the sea, Little Ferret Pal, Samantha K., A Big Squid, Cronus, Maximus, Gino T., Squid Minty, Aiden Frost, Critton McN., Fae Father, Father of the Fae, Mama Belle, Miko the Mockingbird will happily fight Murph to disprove his point, and finally Sheldon the Mushroom Turtle. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you to all of our listeners, all of our Patreon subscribers, and of course our benevolent Council of Elders. Get head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod, to listen to our after show. We'll catch you all next time.
That was a HeadGum podcast.